Streaming to you from the Plastic Microphone Studios, deep in the heart of Cajun country, this is Faith 5 from Fan, and I'm welcoming you to today's episode number 116, streaming live across the ether, the interwebs, the us tube. I mean, it's everywhere. We are live Friday night, the 16th of February. I've got the indomitable Jay Hall from the Oaky Bookcast streaming, zooming, and OBSing to YouTube. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know if anybody's seeing this. You're seeing it.
I am. We're here.
There we are. It's not. How you doing, Professor?
I'm good, man. I am so incredibly stoked to talk about giant flying fighting monsters like we are 10-year-olds.
I am super excited myself. This is an area where I don't have a ton of experience, but like waffle-flavored cones that I just found out about this past weekend.
You just found out about them?
Is the best, by the way. So, yeah, I just found out. I mean, come on, you know.
Need to maybe stop and talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, we went to a place called Flowers and Cream in Houston, and they have red velvet, dark chocolate, deep vanilla, birthday cake. I mean, all of these different flavored waffles.
Right.
And then they have just incredibly yummy ice creams. And so it's right by, I don't know where. It's in Houston, though. There's a couple of them.
Houston's small, so it'd be easy to find them.
Sure. I mean, just, you know, you swing a mummified cat around and hit one of them, I'm sure. But it was some good stuff. They don't have that here. But, you know. But anyway.
I haven't found it
yet. So, unlike my love of horror movies, of just comic books and Marvel movies, I love kaiju. Though I don't worship at the altar of kaiju. Luckily, I have brought a prophet unto me to make sure that all of you out there who are just salivating to know all of the nerdy goodies about kaiju will be satiated. And that, sir, that's on you.
Man, I feel like the bar just got really, really high.
Well, it was pretty low to begin with. I mean, have you seen the show before?
Nowhere to go but up.
So tell us, why are we doing kaiju?
Well, so there are a couple of things, and it bookends my life. So settle in and I'll bore everybody for a few minutes. It starts with like 9, 10, 11-year-old Jay sitting in the living room on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, watching the Saturday, Sunday matinee on the local UHF station. Shout out to Channel 25. And not every week, but many weeks, it was either monster movies or kaiju movies. You know, always old school stuff. And this is like late 70s, early 80s. And I, from the first moment I saw these giant fighting lizards, butterflies, whatever, I was hooked. And I will tell you, I don't know that I ever paid much attention to the storylines then, more so now. I was just waiting for the next time that some giant thing showed up on the screen and started stomping through stuff or fighting or whatever. And I was obsessed, might be a strong word, but it might not be. I was that kid in school who got stuff done early. And so I was either reading or drawing. And I know. And when I was drawing, it was these monsters, these creatures fighting each other. And when we get to the end, I'll let on who always won, but just drawing these things, thinking about them. And I'm not exaggerating, not every Saturday, because I did go outside occasionally, but Saturday afternoon, especially in the wintertime when it wasn't much fun to go outside, man, 1 o'clock, I'm flipping over to see what that movie is. And as soon as the subtitle started or the Japanese opening credit card came up, I was settled in. And for the next 2 hours, I was just going to like stare at these things like they're the greatest things ever. So there's this nostalgia factor that is, I just love these things. And every time they come on, there is this element of 10-year-old me. Even looking at my background right now, I'm like, gosh, these things are cool. Fast forward
oh,
many
I didn't
years.
Notice that.
You didn't notice the background?
No.
No. There you go.
I just saw your halo.
You just learned about waffle cones. So honestly, the other side of it is today, right? So 53-year-old Jay, who doesn't have a lot of time to sit around and watch the Saturday afternoon matinee anymore, but loves these movies for what they say about Japanese culture. And you can, it's really cool if you watch a progression of them, and I have, to see the, you know, immediate, well, within a decade and a half or so of post-World War II Japan. So coming out of, you know, being the only country to be on the receiving end of atomic weapons, devastated in so many different ways, to the beginning of their resurgence, the beginning of their kind of primacy in economics and all the things that began to happen as we moved into the 70s and into the 80s, to watch what these movies turned into, to watch. I think one of the things that's really interesting is that Godzilla goes from the, you know, destroyer of Japan coming in and breaking stuff to its protector. And so anytime the bad guys show up through whatever mechanisms, they either call on Godzilla or Godzilla shows up to save the day, right? So there's this ally suddenly that's available to them. But there's also these great glimpses into just kind of what was going on in Japanese pop culture. There was a span of time in the 70s when Japan went pro wrestling crazy. And And so when you watch some of these movies, and the biggest exemplar of this is Godzilla versus Megalon.
Okay.
And the fight scenes in Godzilla versus Megalon, you could turn that on and you could turn on Mid-South Wrestling from way back in the day and watch the Von Erichs do their thing. Shout out to Iron Claw. And it's the same fight.
Really?
There's suplexes, there are arm bars, there's, you know, one kaiju holding another one while the other one kind of hits him. It turned into red. So it shifted from martial arts focused and just, you know, big monsters stomping around and kind of swinging each other to this very specific kind of wrestling style of fighting because the whole culture was into it.
Right.
And they created these fight scenes with these guys in these gigantic rubber suits who were essentially wrestlers. So the, you know, the meme I fired out earlier today of Godzilla sliding on his tail, like all of that stuff comes from that time period. And it's interesting because if you look at the suits, they get a little sleeker. And mm-hmm. some of the creatures like Megalon's where Jet Jaguar shows up, if you know who that is. And it's basically kind of an Ultraman looking guy. Well, he's like a guy in more of just kind of an armored suit as opposed to having a tail to swing around all this stuff so that he could wrestle better.
There you go.
All this stuff shows up in the movement. So from a sociological, cultural perspective, they're fascinating. And even now, you look at the most recent one, Godzilla Minus One, starts with and really focuses on the firebombing of Tokyo and kind of coming out of that. I love the, you know, some of the final scenes of that movie where the, you know, basically the Dunkirk moment where all of the tugboats show up, coming from the port, and this thing of we're banding together to fight against this thing that has come to destroy us. And so even though we are decades removed from the actual events that are portrayed in that movie, there's still this sense of as a country, because that's, you know, Minus One is Toho. It's back to the Japanese studios. It's not the American studios doing it. And so it's back to this thing of, you know, the Japanese people coming together to take on all enemies, right? Whoever it might be.
Yeah, that's wow.
I warned you that nerdy you was bad.
You did. I just thought it was cool stuff.
And they're cool.
And they're cool. Have you seen Shin Godzilla?
I've not. That's one of the few I have of the newer ones that I haven't seen yet.
It's not on the list, but I watched it in preparation for this one. And it's a very interesting origin take. It doesn't
Okay.
take, thankfully, but it's definitely worth I think I paid like $5 to watch it on Apple TV or something. So anyway, it was interesting. We won't talk about it until you see it though, because there's some interesting stuff that goes on in it.
Gotcha.
But so tell me, how difficult was it to make this list?
It was complicated for two reasons. One, because as I've already led on, I have a possibly unhealthy love of these things. But also I really wanted to be varied, because it would be really easy just to pick five from, the 50s through the early 70s, kind of that classic kaiju era. But I really wanted to bring in different eras, different images and ideas of what these look like. And Jamie, I've even got literary kaiju for you.
I
Because
heard.
I am
I.
who I am. I had to find kaiju in a book, and man, have I got great
Wow.
stuff coming on that.
I'm very interested. And as you can see, we've got Ultraman watching over us.
Of course.
This
What do
is
you
an
got?
actual Japanese Ultraman that when my brother was in Okinawa with the Marines,
Oh,
he went
cool.
to the store and buy it. So the sticker has like it's 900 yen or something like that.
Very nice.
That's old, like 35 years old.
That's cool.
Ultraman may show up at some point in this list. Just saying. So
Valid.
you got it down. If you've never seen the show before, fave five from fans means you get to pick five of your favorites, but we give you two honorable mentions just in case you couldn't hammer them out, or if there was one that was so unique, you just had to have a chance to mention it. And in the past, Jay, you have a sketchy history, maybe,
Hey,
of
it's fair, but
yeah. I mean, you're not a math professor, so
no,
I mean,
I'm not. I am not.
but do you have some honorable mentions today?
After you just said what you said about me, I have exactly two honorable mentions.
Please,
I
two lists of
know.
honorable mentions.
Well, listen, I could have done this, but
Busted.
I didn't. I could have, but I didn't. So, okay. My first one, and I'm gonna kind of change my backgrounds
Look
and
at
not have to
you.
a little bit. Oh yeah, see, don't try this at home, kids.
Okay. Oh.
Yes, I see that hand.
I recognize that one.
You recognize this one?
Yes, I do.
So I wanted to recognize, shout out, whatever, to the Apple TV series Monarch, that just it's been out a few months, set in the Legendary Pictures American Godzilla universe. Takes place actually after the first kind of rerun of Godzilla movies. So this is just after Godzilla's done his thing in San Francisco. And Monarch focuses on the organization that has been studying these things since really World War II, trying to understand what they are, trying to understand what's going on, and does some really cool stuff with where they come from, kind of how they operate. And
Where they
so
go.
they go, right? So this particular dude is called a Frostvark. They don't really call it that, but that's what it's become known as. And it there aren't, strangely enough, for a television series that revolves around kaiju, there's not a lot of kaiju in it because
No,
it's
there's not.
expensive. And it really is more about the people. It's almost like, I thought about this, it's almost like the kaiju version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's adjacent to this world, but it's
Yes.
really more focused on the investigative side and what these folks do. But this thing's just really cool. And it's the other thing about it's a brand new kaiju introduced into the universe for this show. So the Frostvark lives in Alaska. It lives under the ice and snow. Obviously, it is a cold weather kind of thing. It looks like a cross between the dogs from Ghostbusters with the head of the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. Like that's what we
Yeah.
got.
Okay, I can see that.
The cool thing about this, no pun intended, so I apologize, it's attracted to heat because it lives in cold places.
Yeah, it is.
But rather than shooting beams like most, Godzilla has his atomic breath and others, this one actually inhales heat. And so the destruction that it brings, or the weapon that it has is it sucks the heat out of everything and freezes it. So instead of shooting a freeze ray, which would be the easy way to go,
right,
it absorbs and inhales heat, which then causes everything to freeze anyway. But this is a bad dude. I mean, it's strong, it's grumpy, it doesn't like things impinging on its territory. And again, one of the really beautiful things about the new versions of these creatures is that with CGI, they can make it do anything. They can make it move any way they want to. They can make them act, you know, and kind of operate in space in any way. And so if you're into this stuff and all and haven't checked out Monarch, check out Monarch and you will see the Frostbark and understand just how cool it actually is.
It's a very good show. Kurt Russell and his son play the same character in different time periods, which is a great idea. Sometimes I can see the resemblance, sometimes I can't, but really, really.
Mannerisms, it always shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They act and kind of carry themselves.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a season two of that.
Absolutely, sure. Absolutely. And just the way that it ties into what they are doing with all of the other, with the movies that are coming out. I mean, they've got to kind of catch up to the movies, but
yeah,
cool to watch how they're pulling all this together.
Yeah. So that's a great start, man. It's a great start. Right. So you have another honorable mention.
I do have one other honorable mention.
Oh, I had that poster in my room for years.
So here's the deal. King Kong is obvious for me, but not just, this is my King Kong, right? This is 1976. This is the remake from the 1933 film, although it's not very much like the 1933 film at all. So this is 6.5-year-old me not watching it in the theaters because that wasn't a thing. But, you know, back in the day, the movie would come out in the theaters and then about 6 months later, the edited for TV version would show up on the network somewhere. And so I don't know how many times I watched this. I was so obsessed with this movie that my second grade lunchbox was the lunchbox from this movie. Love me some 76 King Kong.
I am right there with you, man. That poster lives in my memory because
everything about it.
So much. I mean, obviously because of the Twin Towers, it's iconic and you know.
Right, right.
But just so much about it. There he is, the king. The king.
Well, and I, you know, for the most part, it's King Kong, right? They go to the island, they nab him, they bring him back. He wreaks havoc on New York. He climbs the World Trade Center instead of the Empire State Building, climbs the World Trade Center. And ultimately things go horribly wrong. But this movie has a moment that will live rent-free in my head forever. Like if I lose all memory, I will still remember this scene fairly early in the movie when, he has taken Jessica Lange and they've gone to his lair, a stage.
Wood carvings.
Okay. Well, and you know, I'm laughing about all the things that I didn't quite catch as a 6, 7, 8-year-old person watching this. A giant snake shows up and begins to threaten her. And so Kong kind of pushes her to the side and he starts fighting this snake. And while the snake's wrapping around him and they're wrestling around, she starts to escape. And when he realizes that she's getting away, he grabs both sides of that snake's jaw and just pulls it in half.
Wow.
To tell you, 7-year-old me, that's the coolest thing I had ever seen. He pulls that thing apart and he throws it down and he takes off after her. And I was like, that's my guy right there.
That's your guy.
But you know, go ahead.
So you please finish.
Well, I think the other thing that's really cool about this is it represented a really significant jump forward in what the creature effects looked like in this movie. Because if you compare this to what Toho was doing in Japan at the same time, it looks like those Japanese movies are 10 years behind this.
Yeah.
Because they spent so much time both doing man and suit effects, obviously, but then a lot of the shots are mechanical. And so I was reading last night, they built 2 6-foot-long King Kong arms that weighed almost a ton each.
Wow.
That they could get the shots of him holding her and carrying her around and, you know, getting close up things of his hands and arms just so they could have those effects and not have to just do it from a distance or, you know, paint things in or do screens. So it really was a ton of practical effects, a lot of mechanical, a lot of guy in suit. But even just the look is so much more, I mean, realistic for a gigantic ape, but more real, more photorealistic than what you were seeing from out, coming out of other studios at the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, the very last movie I saw before COVID hit, like I saw it on the Sunday and the shutdown, the 2 week shutdown was Tuesday or something like that. Tuesday, Wednesday. Anyway, they had a special showing of it, of the original King
no
Kong.
Way.
Yeah. And to see it on the big screen was pretty damn amazing.
Can't
But
imagine.
What really hit me about that movie was when he gives her a bath, basically, under the water, and then blow. That was very racy, I thought.
Right.
You know?
And we didn't then. We just missed all that then.
No, missed it all. And then to see when he was moving, of course, it was all stop motion animation, but it was a furry stop motion animation.
Yeah.
And the amount of detail that went into it. And so even when you look at that from, what was it, 33 or something like that,
yeah.
You know, to 76, I mean, 33 year or 43 years, a jump, it's just amazing to see,
Right.
You know, but.
Well,
Anyway.
And then you look at them, like we're talking about, you look at them now where they're 100% CGI. I mean, even Godzilla Minus One is the first time that that Toho had done a full CGI Godzilla. And it's just, you realize how much further things possibly can advance. But looking at shots like this from 76, you're like, it still kind of works.
Exactly. It does, you know, and the further we get with the CGI, you still lose something. You
The
really do.
Uncanny Valley.
That's why I'm really pushing for them for this new King Kong Godzilla X movie, that they've been able to actually grow a large King Kong. And have him trained for the movie, because I mean, really, that's the way to go.
I heard they were working on it.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
All right, dude. It's time for your honorable mentions. What do you
All
got?
Right. Let's see. Let's see if I can do this without messing it up. My first honorable mention. I did it.
Perfect.
Is how you like that, huh?
So many feelings.
Told you Ultraman would show up. So this is Bimmelrock, whatever. You can see it on the screen.
Held it.
It is the very first kaiju from the very first episode of Ultraman ever. This is the creature that Ultraman was transporting to a prison planet, and it breaks out and it crashes on Earth, and it's where the whole story starts. So when you talk about Sunday afternoons watching a movie, for me, it was Saturday morning at like 6, maybe even 5:30, but like 6 in the morning,
yeah.
Ultraman would come on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I was up sometimes, not always before my dad, but sometimes even before my dad on Saturday mornings to watch this.
Amazing.
And total rubber suits all the way. The wrestling moves that you were talking about, I never really thought about it, but, you know, the wrestling moves and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But this ugly worm of a creature, you know, goes to fight Ultraman, and you only get a 60 second fight with him,
right?
You know, so he had to dispatch them pretty quickly. But this one, like you said, always has a space in my head. I can see over and over and over again. But he's not really a particularly scary kaiju or anything to him, but that's why he's an honorable mention, because he lives there.
That's it. It's about love, right?
There you go. There you go. All right. And then my first honorable mention. Mechanicon.
That is so good.
Now.
Oh, my gosh.
Why is he on my list? Because he's friggin' Mechanical Kong.
Why
I love
would
that
he
our
not?
honorable mentions are both Kongs, by the
That's
way.
incredible.
That's really awesome. You remember the scientist who created him?
I don't remember his name, but I do remember it.
It's Doctor Who.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
What in the world?
So I saw this recently, like I say, recently, 2 years ago when we were on vacation, that this bread and breakfast, or what do they call it, Airbnbs that we were at, had a channel that had just these kind of movies on it, and Mechanicon was on there. And I always thought it was Mechacom. And so when I was watching that movie and it came on, I'm like, ah, I've had it wrong. And I mean, the guy's got grenades, he's got the cool little beacon on top of his head. He's got the
Airplane's been hit.
hypnotizing. Yeah. It's just so very cool.
Wow.
And I think it's been they've done several more of them, and of course they've gotten much better and all this stuff. But
Right.
this look right here, where he's looking with the, oh, that's just so cool.
So did you grow up with Showbiz Pizza?
Yes. Well, yes, Showbiz, and then it became Chuck E. Cheese, which,
Right.
by the
Okay.
way, his real name is Charles Entertainment Cheese.
I'm just going to trust you on that.
But
I
all of
won't
our friends, well, all of
Chucky.
his friends like us, just call him Chucky.
Just calling Chucky. You remember the Rock of Fire explosion?
Oh,
That's
yeah.
what I'm getting right now. I'm looking at Mechanicon and thinking about the giant gorilla behind the keyboard. I don't know if it's the look on his face or the way his arms are, but suddenly I'm transported back to Showbiz Pizza and the Rock of Fire explosion.
There you go.
Hilariously.
All right, so let's get serious now and
Oh.
get to your, yeah, we won't. To your
Quite so.
number five.
All right. This one may be controversial for some, but I will stand
Thank
by
God there's no one watching.
that. Well, it's perfect.
Oh,
So
Clover.
my number five is Clover from Cloverfield.
Why would
And
that be controversial?
there are some who, just as I've researched heavily, because that's what I do for you, Jamie, as I am carefully scouring the internet, there is apparently a debate about whether or not Clover is actually a kaiju. Now, if the definition of a kaiju is a gigantic creature that blows through a city and breaks stuff, well, that's kind of what Clover's doing.
That's what he does, or she.
We don't know, right? I didn't check. So one of the challenges, and even this picture, you never get a great look in Cloverfield because of the way the movie's set up. So it's all shaky cam and all handheld. And so you kind of get these glimpses and then it pulls away. So as I was trying to find an image, I was like, there's not really a close up or a clear shot because that's part of the magic of the movie. Huge monster comes out of the ocean, tears up New York, rips the head off the Statue of Liberty and throws it, which is just fantastic in, twisted ways. Has these parasites that live on it that it, then, dispatch into the city and they're giant things that take out people as well. And ultimately what leads
For
them.
Starbucks. They're just that's
They're looking for something to eat, but maybe that's something a little bit different. But yeah, just it's got the lizard bat kind of look to it. There is controversy, not only that it's a kaiju or not, but if it is a terrestrial creature or an alien. And the director, Matt Reeves, says that it's an alien. And you see,
okay.
if you remember that the very end of the movie, there's a shot that somebody finds on a video camera of people at the amusement park, and you see this smoke trail come out of the sky and crash into the ocean. He says that's Cloverfield showing up from outer space. J.J. Abrams, who was the producer, because it was done by Bad Robot, says that Cloverfield was actually, or Clover was actually a creature that lived under the ocean for millions of years, and that something that we woke it up. So kind of more the Godzilla tradition that it was always around and then has come back to haunt us or at least cause significant problems for us. But I loved this movie. I'm one of those who could sit through it in the theater and it didn't bother me. There's a lot of stuff about the shaky camera really being problematic for folks that had motion sickness. Not me. I sat through it, loved it. And just the this is, we'd had Godzilla 98 and other Godzilla movies where they came to New York, of course, King Kong doing his thing. But to have new monsters coming and being different enough, and just the style of the movie, I just love Clover. I love Cloverfield. So there it is, my number five.
Okay, so let me ask you, the naysayers who say that it's not a kaiju, what are they saying precludes it from being on that list?
Oh, Jamie, it's the internet. They don't need a reason.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's the idea, some of what I've seen, that there's a particular tradition that kaiju come out. I mean, kaiju is a Japanese word, and that this doesn't fit within that tradition for whatever set of reasons. And I don't know if it's the style of the movie. I don't know if it's the kind of presentation of it, if it's the fact that it's not a guy in a rubber suit clowning around. But yeah, there are folks that say, have a very narrow definition of what a kaiju is. And basically, if it's not from that original tradition from Toho Studios beginning in the 50s, then it doesn't count.
Okay.
I say
Well,
wrong to those people.
I do too. I do too. I say wrong because, I mean, that's the whole point about these things is that, yes, it came from Toho. We could say that, but people all over the world embrace it. I mean, what we're going to say that, monsters aren't monsters if there wasn't a universal monster movie of it, I mean,
Right.
just, yeah. Okay. Well, I've never heard that. I didn't deep dive like you did into the lore of it. So I'm really actually very interested, aside from the fact that, well, it didn't come from Toho, as to why it's not. So does that mean all the Pacific Rim
Well,
kaiju aren't
King
kaiju?
Kong didn't come from there.
Exactly.
Toho wasn't around in 33 when he first made his climb up the Empire State Building. So yeah,
Yeah.
again, you can find fights on the internet about just about anything if you look hard enough, and really don't have to look very hard for most of them.
Probably not. Well, I'll go and dig then.
There you go.
Actually, no, I won't. Screw those guys.
As you know, we know.
That's
We've
it.
already
We
said it.
know.
We settle it here and now.
And you want to know how I know for sure that that's a kaiju?
How do you know for sure?
Because the monsters from Pacific Rim are kaiju as well.
Was quite a little teaser you dropped in there right before you did it.
you.
That was well done. Well played.
So
Defended
you've
your
got
claim before you had to.
Otachi. Who was perhaps the meanest of all the Pacific Rim kaijus. And I'm going to say right now, I liked the movie. I liked both of them. They were fun, okay? They weren't Oscar winners and what, but they were fun, okay? And they had some incredible creatures like this. And so this is the one who fought Gypsy Danger and almost beat him. And you find out she was pregnant while she was doing it. Now, of course, that could have made her meaner. Sorry,
That was Jamie, by the way, that wasn't me.
if there's,
Send your cards and letters.
there you go. But I of all of the ones, the way the head shaped up, kind of almost like a ram wrecking head, and the blue color that would come, it's just a very cool creature. Very cool kaiju. I could definitely see it fighting Godzilla.
That'd be a cool crossover.
Anything like that. So again, those guys can just, I think this is just as much of a kaiju as anything else. It's our
I'm
show.
sorry that I bothered you so much. I feel like you've really taken this personally, Jamie.
I really have. I'm gonna like find them down and go to their mom's basements and have a talk with those guys, So, do you like the Pacific Rim movies?
I do, and you're right. I mean, the reality is most of these movies aren't made to be films, right? I mean, they're movies. They're get your popcorn out.
Popcorn.
The book that I'm going to talk about, the author says this book's a pop song, right? I mean, this is not meant to be studied. This
Yeah.
is to just be appreciated and enjoyed for what it is. And so, if you're going looking for a film, honestly, if you're going into a movie where something like that is on the poster and you think you're going to see a film, then you might be pleasantly surprised, like minus one, but for the most part, you're going to get this.
Yeah. And the thing is like you look at the Oscar nominations that came out. There were like seven best picture movies. I had literally heard of probably two of them. And it's like it's I don't know. I just have a different when it goes to the movies, I just have a different whole realm to them. But
I think that's why these are so incredibly popular. And you think about Marvel films, like you talked about earlier, and lots of other, like the reason that people go to these things is not to, well, there are some who go to nitpick and think about every little detail of it. But for the most part, it's, hey, this is going to be fun. I'm going to suspend my head for a couple hours and watch giant ram-headed things tear up cities, or guys in capes fly around, and that's fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to all be serious,
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
thankfully.
All right. Well, let's get serious again. We probably won't.
No chance.
And here you're number four.
Okay, so my number four is kind of like your honorable mention from Ultraman. This is one that I love only because I love it. And there is really no other reason. So
It's that. Oh God.
glad that your reaction did not disappoint.
Oh my God.
This is King Caesar.
King Caesar?
You see, well, you know, that's they started calling lots of these monsters King whatever.
Even though it's
It's a
got
yeah, I mean, you know.
no, hey, I'm not even supposed to ask. Please continue.
Yeah, don't assume it's gender. This is King Caesar, also known as King Shisa. Shisa, I knew I wasn't gonna say it right.
That's what she
So,
said.
bless you. Caesar does not show up very much for obvious reasons, right? Caesar is in his big moment is in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, and then shows up one more time. And I've got to even look because I don't remember in Final Wars, and then shows up in some of the anime stuff, obviously in very different forms. But for the most part, this is kind of a third tier kaiju, even for this world. But I, again, as a kid, and I don't know if it's because it kind of looks like a dog or. You know,
I was
most of
thinking
them are.
mouse.
Well, you know what it looks like is the rabbit from Donnie Darko if you go too hard with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so now I didn't know about that at the time, but there weren't a lot of fuzzy kaiju at this point. They're mostly, you know, bugs or reptiles, and so I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just love this thing. And when you and I first talked about doing this, it's like, okay, Caesar has to be on the list. Not because by any stretch of the imagination is he the coolest or the best fighter or whatever, but this is about love, right?
Right.
Now, there are some cool, like, cultural things about this. Caesar is connected to these Shisa statues that are considered the protectors of Okinawa. You mentioned Okinawa
They
earlier.
shell them by the seashores.
Stop it. I couldn't say that either. So in Okinawa, there are these statues everywhere. They're part lion, part dog. They're the protectors. They think they're kind of a next step or an evolved version of the Chinese dragon and lion statues that you see lots of places in Imperial China. But in the movie, they are. Caesar is called forth with a statue, right? I mean, so he's the protector of Okinawa, he's a protector of the royal family, and when things go bad with Mechagodzilla, they call on him and he's awakened from his slumber under a mountain and comes to defend the people. So he comes to fight with Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, and he is known as a great fighter. He's a great martial artist, and you see some of that in the fighting style because, again, they're not moving to the wrestling style yet. Doesn't have his own beam weapon, but
But
has what's called the prism eye
oh,
that he can absorb your beam weapon and turn it back on you 10 times stronger.
wow,
So when he's fighting Mechagodzilla,
is that the thing on the head?
No, it's actually literally in his eye. Although this is actually the one from a picture of Final War, so it may have changed there. But it Mechagodzilla shoots his beam at him, and he absorbs it and shoots it back, and that's one of the things that tears Mechagodzilla up until Mechagodzilla realizes, oh wait, if I use missiles, he can't do that. And then Caesar literally goes and hides behind a mountain while
Well, yeah.
the missiles.
I mean, you see how long he took on his hair? He's not going to
Oh,
get all that
seriously.
stuff. Come on.
Seriously.
I'm with King Seashore by the seashells. So sure.
Really, really crushing that. Anyway, but he's a, you know, most of them are naturally occurring. He's a golem, so like his skeleton is made of gold because he's
Oh,
a
wow.
creation rather than something that's naturally occurring. So somewhere in between, like a robot and Godzilla.
But gold is naturally occurring.
Well, but not in the skeleton of a giant Donnie Darko rabbit, apparently. I'm not a
There's
biology
two of them?
professor. I can't help you with that. I hope not. That'd be a scary
There's a
movie.
pair of them? I mean, apparently. Never mind.
But anyway, so yeah, King Caesar, I just
Hey.
and man, when I was watching clips again, I was like, oh, that's right. I love this.
There you go. Wow. So I will have to tell you, I would not have chosen this one because it is too humanoid for me. So never would have even come on my list because when I think of kaijus, I think of something that, while it doesn't necessarily walk around on four, six, or eight legs, usually does not look that
Right.
humanoid.
That man in suit
Yeah, and that hot in that gold bikini.
settled down.
So it would not have been on my list.
But this is one of those things that happens if you watch the progression of these movies as they go into the 70s and they are focusing more on the fighting style,
Yes.
more of this shows up because it's easier for them to move and actually fight. So that's why Caesar's known for being a martial artist because he could actually move like
Yeah,
one
no, I
as
can
opposed
definitely see that.
to, the
And to be
Spartan.
honest with you, aside from the ultra people, I didn't know there were these people like that.
Oh,
So
yeah.
good on me. I mean, good on you for teaching me.
That's what I do.
And now I'm going to teach you. So what I did like, okay, what I did include, not just our kaiju, and I'm sure the Toho loving people out there will pop their buttons on this one. I chose what can only be described as a Cthulhu-esque elder god from the Mist, the Behemoth.
Nice.
Okay, so I've told you the story, I believe, about how much I hated the end of the Mist
Right.
movie. Okay, and then over the years, I come to appreciate and even like it. Okay, that being said, I always got a just an instant love for the look of this character. Okay, so not only does it have just like a weird amount of legs, and it's so much leg, and it has these tentacle appendages going down, and I couldn't find a good picture of it,
Right.
but not only that, but you have creatures just like Clover who live on it and fly off and fly around and go and come back and attack people and come back to mama.
Yeah.
So I would assume that this would also make those people upset because it's not really a kaiju.
This one would probably not even be on their radar, but
Yeah.
yeah, I think just because of the same. And it's interesting because when this picture popped up, I immediately thought of Clover because of the design and the legs and this kind of thing. And then you talk about the parasites that are flying off of it. The next one I'm going to talk about has also something similar. So it's just interesting that these kinds of creatures, I'm sure not independent of each other, but emerge in all these different kind of worlds.
Yeah. And this one would definitely be, one might say, terrestrial or interdimensional,
Right.
but probably not alien, you know? So I don't know. But again, I always look this slow, lumbering, just all the legs kind of moving independent, and you could look and see things flying around. It was perfect, you know? So I just, that's it. I
Well,
love
and there's
a behemoth.
the level of terrifying that comes with things like that, right? You look at Godzilla, some of these others, there's a goofy, especially later on, element to them that has turned a bit, but even then, like the best imagining of these creatures, while they are massive and powerful, whatever, you can't quite separate yourself from sliding on their tails in 1974, right? But these other things that are outside of that world that are just created like this, I mean, that's a pretty awe-inspiring figure there.
Right. I mean, really, especially since throughout the first, whatever, almost 2 hours of this movie, you've seen all these weird different size creatures, but they're all pretty normal sized, you know? And then when it comes out of the
And then.
mist, yeah, it's like, holy mother, you know? And I mean, it makes me kind of understand why, not spoiling it, but why Thomas Jane's character did what he did and made this
Right.
choice. You see something like that, and I mean, it's game over, man.
Get
Game
your full
over.
attention, yeah.
So, well, I want to get my full attention on your number three.
All right, so now we're going literary. I warned you it was going to happen.
I've actually heard of this. You've talked about this before.
Talk about this book all the time.
Yes.
So Kaiju Preservation Society, and this is not, well, it's not only an excuse to talk about this book, but it is. This is a book that posits a world where Kaiju exist in a parallel on a parallel Earth. And that the reason they show up is because they're attracted to atomic explosions. And so the reason Godzilla came when he or she, depending on which version, did is because it was after the atomic bomb test and then the dropping of the atomic bombs on Japan, because the nuclear energy creates these rifts between the worlds. And the kaiju are attracted to the atomic radiation because they think it's food.
Right.
So then they come in, they do their thing, and then they go back across the rift back to their world. And so in this book, it even talks about the quote unquote Godzilla myth, because it's a story that's talked about, but nobody ever found it because it went back to where it came from. This book is so much fun. So Scalzi's a fantastic writer. Huge science fiction. He writes these big sweeping space opera epics like Old Man's War and the Interdependency series. But this is just like a one-off. And this is, Scalzi describes this as a pop song. Like he wrote this either early pandemic or just before it started. And this is literally just a love letter to the world of kaiju. And so he spends a ton of time in this book talking about their biology, talking about the fact that, you know, they're powered by biological nuclear reactors within them, and that sometimes that can go wrong. And so there are nuclear explosions in this world where adolescent kaiju, where things don't go exactly right, just blow up. He gets into
I get
kaiju.
that feeling after a couple of double beef
Oh,
burritos.
there you go.
I know.
You know the feeling. He talks about kaiju reproduction hilariously.
Yeah, you do.
Imagine kaiju elimination, like what happens when they've had too many burritos and have to deal with that. It's just this amazing, tongue firmly in cheek. The characters are hilarious. Everything is larger than life. The bad guys literally are like mustache twirlers. It's just, it's amazing. But so there's two kaiju that are kind of the focus of this. They're called Bella and Edward, because somebody let the millennials name them. And so that's a running joke. Bella and Edward are, and they don't describe them very much. They get more into kind of the mechanics of them and how they operate, but not so much what they look like. So we know they have four eyes. We know they have tentacles, kind of like what you've got on the screen there. We know that they have wings, they can fly. We know that they can disappear, which is a little bit terrifying if suddenly it could just go away and then
But
show up on
disappear,
the
become invisible, or disappear, go back to their world.
disappear, become invisible. So like within their world, they can disappear and then pop back. So, you know, be afraid. And the big problem in the book is that one of the other kaiju blows up, goes off, creates a rift, and then Bella settles into that rift to lay her eggs. And so it keeps the rift open. And so you have the possibility of kaiju coming across into our world, but also the mustache twirling bad guys coming into the kaiju world that they don't know exists, or they do now, but part of this is the whole thing's a big secret, and they're coming to try to steal her eggs and try to, for whatever nefarious purposes they might come up with.
Probably open some Starbucks.
Honestly, you know,
That's how they start.
the Jimmy's egg people are coming to just to get them anyway. That may be an Oklahoma City reference. It doesn't help
That's an
anybody else.
Oklahoma City river, but I got it.
But again, this book is so much fun, and they are, although we don't have good pictures of them because he doesn't describe them very well, just the mechanics and the biology, like all these things that you don't have time to talk about in the movie because they've got to get to busting stuff. But the thinking about how could these things actually exist?
Yeah.
And one of the running jokes is that, you know, evolution didn't really select for brains, and so they're really dumb. So part of the challenge with reproduction is that the male kaiju forget what that is.
Yeah.
And so when the women show up ready, they just fight them because they don't know what else to do. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff all the way through it.
That's hilarious.
Just, you know, I told you about Devolution. You said you just finished it and we're into that.
Loved it.
Here you go. This is your next recommendation, Kaiju Preservation Society.
So out of the Kaiju Preservation Society, what's your favorite kaiju?
Well, it's this Bell and Edward. I mean, because it's kind of the centerpieces of it. It's the one we know the most about. I mean, they tried some other things that kind of go around, but for the most part, it's focused on these two.
All right. Well, I like that. Okay. Well, I will. Obviously, most everything I read is unabridged audiobooks.
Right.
So you can look down your nose at me if you want to.
Can't. Because by the way, Will Wheaton does the audiobook of this.
Oh, really? Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Wheaton. But I will. I'll find it and I'll listen to it next.
But
yeah. Okay. Well, let's bounce
three,
over
what do you got?
My number three. And let's once again talk about Clover from Cloverfield.
No wonder you were so sensitive about this.
Even my mouth, though, if I, you know, bite my tongue. No, but yeah, it does. It bothers me. It's like, are you kidding? I mean, of course, this is the same picture you had.
Right.
But I mean, look at this thing. I mean, of course it's a kaiju. I don't care where it came from. It is. And I didn't pull them, but there are definitely 3D models of it that they used for the CGI in the movie where you could see the whole thing and it's got the legs that kind of, you know, like, the, oh my God, it's so a kaiju.
You're going to unleash on the internet later.
Oh my God. I'm going to teach those guys.
Like a kaiju.
Best kaiju ever.
It is so great. Have you watched the other movies? So 10 Cloverfield Lane and Paradox. I've not seen Paradox, but I did see 10 Cloverfield Lane. And I still just go back to the original and say, this is it.
So, you know, one of the reasons I like the original one so much, the shaky cam and all that stuff, that doesn't bother me either. I absolutely love it. But so, you know, the girl, the woman with the dark hair, who, not the girlfriend, but she's the one at the party. She's the one that gets the kaiju in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So she and John Bernthal, Punisher, and you know the meme where the reporter gets hit with the stop sign?
Yes. Okay.
All of those people were all in a TV series that had one season called The Class, where, and John Ritter's son is in it too. And it's all about this guy is going to propose to his girlfriend, and they met in kindergarten or second grade or whatever. And he invites all of the people from that class to be at a party so he could pop the question. And she turns it down. But they don't all remember each other, but they kind of form a group, you know, and it's fun. It's a good show, and it just didn't last long enough. But anyway, she's in it. So I just finished that show when I saw this. And, you know, I love her as an actress. I love the characters. I love how not only you're seeing the different footage, but you're also seeing the parts of him and the girlfriend back in the better days.
Right. I mean, yeah.
It's a perfect little movie, and perfect monsters. Perfect.
Yes, perfect kaiju.
There you go. All right. So we are now at our penultimate kaijus.
Numero dos.
I have to come up with a sound, the ka-ching, you know, every time I get to use that number, because getting my money's worth.
You just like saying penultimate.
I do. It's fun. So give me your number two.
My number two is the OG.
Oh,
it's Godzilla.
You've got to go. Go, go, Godzilla.
Outstanding. But particularly, I loved minus one.
Yeah.
I thought this movie was fantastic as a film, which I think we can say, but I also love what they did with Godzilla.
Right.
Because they brought it back to a like legit force of nature that doesn't have a ton of agency or thought about what it's doing. It's just a gigantic animal defending its territory and dealing with whatever's in the way.
Right.
So you don't have, you know, especially later in the late 60s, early 70s, where Godzilla, I mean, like there's strategy and there's, we're teaming up and we're doing this kind of stuff. There's none of that. Like, yeah, this is just literally a force of nature that nothing can stop. They really get back into kind of the regenerative powers. And so you get to see Godzilla take damage and then heal from it very quickly. Just even, you know, when it comes into, and I'll butcher the pronunciation, but Ginza or whatever, where really the only city it attacks in the movie, you just have this giant thing waving its tail around and taking buildings out indiscriminately and stomping on stuff and biting on trains and throwing them across the way. And then there's a great moment in that attack scene where they've got the tanks lined up on the hill and it looks just like something straight out of the 60s, where all the tanks are lined up and kind of shooting together. And then, not for the first time, but for the first time like this, you see Godzilla use the atomic breath.
Oh.
And you see the, you know, the plates on its back light up and kind, yes, of like you can see it coming. And then it launches and it fires that beam. And then you see literally a mushroom cloud, and the aftermath is legit an atomic explosion.
Wow. Yeah, that's totally different.
Right. Right. And just so
blue in this movie.
Yep. Blue.
Okay. Because I want to talk about something when you finish.
And it's, again, it's, I keep saying force of nature, but there is this idea of, this is a thing that can't be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so then you have the, you know, old Japanese Navy and all these folks coming together to heroically go out and try to deal with it. But it harkens back to, again, that period of time. It's post-World War II. It's dealing with the aftermath of the Tokyo firebombing. It's dealing with a country that's trying to get itself back together. And then here comes Godzilla. And the other cool thing about Minus One, as I nerd about this forever, is the opening sequence where you see an adolescent version, or at least a smaller version that hasn't gone to the full blown, you know, what you see here. When it kind of the first vision of it, it's much smaller. Wow. And then you have atomic testing and other things that happen in the Pacific, and it grows to what it becomes then when it actually moves to Japan and starts to do what Godzilla does. Anyway, Minus One, I think this version is, I mean, you know, there's always love for the old school, but of all of the reimaginings, right, Godzilla 98, everything that happened through the 60s and 70s, the new Legendary Pictures Monsterverse version, this is the one that does it for me.
You know, okay, so real quick, I've noticed in the trailers for the Godzilla X King Kong, whatever, New Realm or whatever, it's pink.
Is it really? I haven't paid attention.
Yeah. So I was kind of wondering why, because I know in Monarch, it's blue.
Right.
So I don't know why it's changed.
Maybe that's a Girlzilla.
I don't know. But you know what happens when the boy Godzilla and the girl Godzilla get together? You know?
I do, because I've read Kaiju Preservation Society.
Yeah, there you go. Am I doing this wrong? No, I'm going wrong.
Sure, dude. Yes. Yes.
You get got. Oh gosh, it's right there.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. You remember that?
Oh yeah,
that's my Godzilla.
I love it.
78 and 79. That's actually an original animation cell right there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't own it, but it was somebody's in somebody's collection. But that's the Godzilla that I love. Godzilla and Godzuki.
Godzuki.
Gosh. That was just, I mean, it was just so much fun. They're just like going around in their oil tanker and, fighting other kaiju and pollution monsters and just whatever, And it had a cool theme song. So
Oh yeah.
I loved it. I remember it coming on. I think it was CBS,
Oh, I can't
maybe,
help you there, but
maybe ABC, but I think it was like CBS Saturday mornings, and just always enjoyed it. I've gone back and watched a few, and I'm like, oh, why do I love this so much? Because it's,
this is
but
amazing. The theme song is actually running in my head right now.
rent free.
Oh yeah, and
And
probably
part
building for the rest of it.
two.
Up from the depths. Oh yeah.
30 stories high,
Oh.
breathing fire.
He stands in the sky. Oh yeah.
Godzilla. Yeah. See, I'm not afraid. I give everything to this show.
Apologies to anybody still listening.
But it's a lot of fun. Oh, did I turn it off?
Broke it.
I know. Probably did. Oh, gosh, because I want you to be able to see the next one.
One moment, please.
There we go. TV's smarter than I am.
No, it even said it right there.
All right. You did.
If things go bad, we can just watch TV behind you for a while.
I know, right? Okay, let's make sure we didn't get to the. It's loading. All right, that's okay because I'm going to show you my number one in a minute. So
All
anyway,
right.
Godzilla 78, the cartoons, that was the absolute best for me.
Love it.
All right. We've gone through the list of kaijus and kaijus.
It's so bitter.
So bitter.
So angry.
But we are now at our number one, our absolute favorite kaijus. And I will bet you a king size Snicker bar that we do not match.
Oh, I'll almost guarantee it.
Okay. So reveal unto us your favorite kaiju, King Ghidorah.
There you go. I couldn't find a good
That.
one, so it's a little bit of everything. I'm just going to let it attack me. How's
Yeah, I was going
that?
to say that's kind of what it looks like.
I love, 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 love this creature.
Okay.
When again, 9, 10-year-old Jay sitting in whatever class, finished the math assignment, drawing stuff. This is who always won. I know that typically Ghidra's the bad guy. It's always kind of in opposition to Godzilla. Didn't care. Was totally
No.
fine with it.
I loves a good villain.
That's it. I just everything about this, the three heads, the fact that it can, regenerate those heads if something happens, it can fly, it can even choke, Godzilla out with its necks wrapping around. That happens in random movies.
I don't know
But
what movies you're watching.
I listen, there's so many. Everything about this, and I, so as much as I love the version from the 60s, Godzilla King of the Monsters in 2019,
Yeah,
when
in the
this thing,
ice.
when it comes out fully realized, you recognize how cool it is when it's guy in suit and mechanical whatever, but the version that they put in King of the Monsters that is massive and this unstoppable force with, some intelligence to it, and so there's it's got an agenda. Watching the fighting style, watching the gravity beams shoot out, all that kind of stuff. But also, there's a moment in King of the Monsters when Ghidorah's fighting Godzilla and losing, and it turns around and chomps down on a power plant.
Like on a power plant, not a power line.
No, a power plant. And explodes electricity out of everything. So there's this great shot, and I couldn't get a good one to put up here, of all three heads, wings spanned out as far as they can go, and there's just electricity shooting everywhere. And I'm telling you, I mean, I saw this movie as a 50-year-old person, and I was like, yes, sir. Is that ridiculous? You better believe it is. Is it awesome? Also, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just, this, it's always been like, again, big fan of King Caesar. Can't explain that one. This one I can more.
Yeah.
Just every time it shows up in every movie. And I've, you know, the one part of this world that I've not really paid much attention to is the anime, but there are also just some clips as I was watching through different things. Some of the anime stuff they do with this character is really, really cool.
Really?
Again, because it's got the, you know, flying stuff from like a Rodan, but then the snake-like things with the heads, and it's got the reptile, and it just kind of combines so much of all of these different creatures, and you can just go anywhere with it. So there he is, my number one in all of his glory.
That's awesome. Now there's a mechanical one of those too, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And
And
this
then
is an alien. So, you know, came from outer space to
our
start
sixth
causing
estate.
trouble. Except in the Monarch deal, that's not really been laid out in the same way.
Yeah.
But in the original Japanese, it's he's an alien.
So the haters probably say he's not a kaiju then.
Gonna have to let it go, dude.
Jerks. Those jerks. Okay, so not that they're watching, but if we could stop and listen for just a moment, maybe we'll hear their heads explode as I
Here it comes.
reveal to you my number one kaiju. And I think you're going to appreciate this one. Okay, it's from a movie you've seen a lot. You've seen.
I'm ready. Am
Am right?
But yes, you have just sent some people over the moon if they were paying any attention to this.
Now,
Never in a million years would I have thought of this.
right? But I mean, it checks all the boxes for us.
I'll give it to you.
I mean, it's a huge creature. It all of it. All of it. I mean, you can literally go into its belly and it has parasites flying around and attacking you, you know? And it just lies in wait for you. As a matter of fact, this is a
Minox.
3D
They're called
render
Minox.
of one. Look at how scary that thing is.
Amazing.
You
That's
know?
incredible.
The Exogorth
Yeah.
from Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
I love it. I love
Right? Do I ever let you down?
it.
Just,
Well, we won't get into that, but
yeah,
not
let's
here.
not.
Not here. But that's a great pull. And again, never in a million years would have occurred to me, but the second it showed up on the screen, I was like, yeah, that works.
It
It
is.
absolutely fits. And again, because a lot of these do come from outer space,
Right.
there is the possibility, if Earth were to exist in a galaxy far, far away, that this meteor could pass by Earth and the Exogorth could come and fight Godzilla.
There you go.
And I would be in the front row for that movie.
Right. I would see it too. See, Godzilla punches fist down its throat and then pull it apart, you
That's
know?
it. The Kong-like Jaws thing.
There you go. There you
Back
go.
to it.
So I want to make a couple of observations here.
Okay.
Neither of us picked anything from the realm of Power Rangers.
So I got to tell you, I know zip all about Power Rangers.
Okay.
So yeah, there was no chance that I would have done that.
So that being said, you're familiar with the Power Rangers. I mean, you've seen them, you know. Are those kaijus? Not the Rangers, but the monsters they fight.
I mean, again, I think if they fit all these things we're talking about, why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, I think so. The only thing that I would say that they wouldn't be kaijus is that because from my limited experience, they all start out as normal sized creatures and then become kaiju-esque. So I think one of the things that makes a kaiju is that it's always,
That.
yeah. So it's not like it can hide in a, you know, in a garage when,
This is you knowing a lot more about it than I do because I had no idea that they started small and then became.
yeah, they start the same. That's usually, I think, how it does is they fight with, because one of my daughters watched one of the seasons of it, And so I remember we ended up renting like the whole
Okay.
season.
Yeah.
And that's how it would always start up, is they'd start up fighting in the streets, and then they would do whatever, and they would,
And they would become the giant versions of the same thing.
right. Or they would slightly change when they became the giant versions. And then the Power Rangers either, I think they would all get together and get into like a Voltron-like ship or something and makes a big robot, and then they fight it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So I found it interesting. I was wondering if, I mean, I know we're the same age, so it really wasn't our jam, you know. And then the other thing I noticed is that neither of us really picked anything that was from like anime. Do you go into any of that?
I don't, like I said, I watched some
Oh,
clips
that's
and then
right, clips. Yeah.
I just, this is the reality of the world in which we live, and particularly people that are our age and like have jobs and have to do things. There are only so many minutes and so many hours, and so I know my personality, and for those who've never met me before, you now know a lot about my personality. The stuff that I'm into, I get into. And so I just, my son-in-law is interested in some anime and manga stuff. I just can't, other than like when I was a kid, Star Blazers, Speed Racer, like that kind of stuff, yes. But anything that's now, I just don't have time or energy to devote to it.
Some of them are incredible. Like I have a friend, Kimmy B, who's been on the show before, and she's her boyfriend watches a lot of it. And there are some series, one of them in particular, that has over 1,000 episodes.
Oh yeah, no, it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
And
wow.
again, I have a hard time sitting down watching a season, one season of something. It took me like a month to watch the 10 episodes of Monarch. So
I'm with you though. So did
thousand,
you go
thousand.
back?
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, did you go back and see Godzilla minus one minus color?
No, I wish I had, because that
Yeah,
would.
I didn't see it either. I didn't make the time to go see it, but I'm definitely going to be buying it when it comes out. You know, because I've heard it's incredible.
Well, and it's again such a, I mean, everything about that movie is such a throwback to the beginning.
Yeah.
And so then, because the original first couple of Godzilla movies are in black and white. And so to get to see again a more modern realization of it, but in that look, I'm in.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing when you talk about the first one, how they filmed all the Japanese stuff, and then they go back and filmed extra stuff with Raymond Burr to make another movie, you know, to release. I mean, that was brilliant. You know, I
Well,
will say one of the things I do know about Power Rangers is that they fight all of their fights in nondescript places. Okay. And they only fight once they've all suited up against the monsters. And they film that all overseas,
right.
Spawn Studios or whatever. And then they send it to different parts of the world. And they have their own casts that speak their own languages and their own characters. And then they do and they transform. And then they go, they don't have to film the fight scenes.
That's really cool.
It's really interesting. And if you go, I've seen it before on YouTube a while back. They'll show the power ups of
Right.
like all of them, or like a whole bunch of them, and then the fights are exactly the same.
That's
And
wild.
if you pay attention, you know, a warehouse is a warehouse is a warehouse, unless you're really looking at it.
Right.
So anyway, that's, I always thought it was a brilliant move as well.
Yeah. Well, and so much of this stuff, when it was, because they got, I mean, they were hugely popular, obviously, in Japan, but as they became more and more popular here, there was that thought process of even into naming things. And so part of the whole deal about Caesar is the, when it went from Shisa, still can't do it. Initially, it got translated, and the press here started calling it King Seesaw. And like, we can't have that because that doesn't sound scary at all. And so
No.
then it eventually, transliterated into Caesar.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Well, I do have to give, I we have to mention one more. Okay.
Okay.
Because a past guest of the show, Joey O, did a shout out before we got started. His favorite is Gamera.
Right,
Did you see
yes.
that on
Yes.
Twitter? And I love that scene where Gamma's like, he's Gamma's flying around with the jets, and then he clips onto it and spins around. I'm like, what the hell are we even doing here, guys? I don't know what we're doing, but we love it.
Well, no, that's it. I mean, there's a point if you go back through the history of these and you have like, I don't even remember what it's called, but like basically it's just a giant lobster that they, trot out. And there was this moment of they're going to buy anything. Let's just do it, right? Just throw it against the wall. It's going to stick and we're going to move on to the next one.
Ewoks.
Well, we get down a lot of roads there if we needed to. That's a whole different conversation.
Oh, different conversation.
But well, I mean, it's another one. Just all of these, and again, whether they make a ton of sense or not, because I will continue to go back to Caesar, there's just like this joy, and I think it is, it's nostalgia. It's remembering as kids watching this stuff and thinking that's the coolest thing I've ever seen, even though it's basically a turtle just flipping on a high bar. But it was awesome. So respect.
That's it. And again, that's what I love about this show is it's you can explain it to some degree, but
Right.
you don't have to explain it because it's your favorite.
Again,
That's just what it is.
it's just love. So,
That hair. Oh, Fabio would be
everything
jealous.
about it. Everything about it.
I mean, come on, doesn't that kind of look like Princess Leia's top?
A
I'm
little
just
bit.
saying.
A little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, way to ruin it for me, Jamie.
A little bit. Well,
Never.
all right. This is usually the part of the show where I try to stump you. And the normal question would be, well, if you could be any kaiju, what would you be?
I knew it wouldn't be that easy.
Okay, it's not going to be that easy. If you had to fight a kaiju and you could only have one of Godzilla's powers,
Oh.
what would it be?
So I'm torn between two. And I think going back to minus Godzilla minus one, I would want the ability to regenerate.
Okay.
Is you can take the hits and keep coming.
Right.
Right. And so you take the blast, you can take whatever, but if you can't ever be stopped, short of, really, really significant kind of damage, then eventually you can win. So I think that's the direction I'd go. Rather than the atomic breath, even though the atomic breath is so stinking cool in minus one. Because you see across like all these movies that Godzilla can hit other kaiju with it over and over and over again, and they just keep coming. Now, part of
Right.
that is you don't want the fight to end in 30 seconds, but they can absorb that and keep coming, or like King Caesar could absorb it and shoot it back at you. But if you ultimately can't be stopped, you can take damage and keep coming, then over time you're going to win. So that's it. There you go. That's what I'd do.
All right. All right. Well, that's your answer. That's wrong, but that's your answer, and you go with
Oh,
that.
well, okay. So what's the quote unquote right answer, Jamie?
I gotta think it's gotta be the atomic blast because but the atomic blast from the new one because that
Kind
just
of hard
seems
to get over that
yeah that's
thing.
pretty awesome I gotta go back and watch I mean I can't wait to see that but now King Seesaw there that eyeball is pretty awesome
Right?
so I mean
Unless you're like Mechagodzilla and you also
exactly.
have missiles, and then you got to go hide behind a big rock.
Who would have thought? I mean, who would have thought that Mechagodzilla would go rogue? I mean, it's just unheard of. I mean, really.
When has a robot ever steered us wrong?
Right? Never, ever. All right. Well, following that section up, the next section is where we talk about what we're going to do next. And we've already decided that.
No, we have.
And we're going to be doing.
So we've got two that we've talked about. I don't know the order in which they will happen.
Yeah.
To prove the wide pantheon of interests that we can bring, right? Because we've, listen,
Yeah, we're both pretty wide, but anyway,
well, that's true too.
you're working on that.
We have spanned the globe on this deal. One of the next two is going to be our favorite Big Bang Theory episodes,
Right?
which, dang, you talk about hard.
I've
I've been
been
working
working
on
on that
that.
one.
And then the other one is, and if I say it wrong, please correct me, our favorite MCU costumes
Or uniforms.
or uniforms,
Yes.
right?
Now, I did want to make sure that we are both on the same page. When I say MCU, I don't just mean the movies from Iron Man 1 up.
Okay, so that's an important note. That's good
Yes.
for me to
So
know.
any, I mean, if you wanted to choose Lou Ferrigno's Hulk outfit with
Okay.
the green painted shoes, that's you. You know, pick it.
Don't get shoes.
I actually saw a list today that there are actually 82 Marvel movies now. Okay.
Wow.
But that includes The Kingsman because Marvel bought that
Right.
series. It
Right.
includes Men in Black because Marvel bought Malibu back in 94.
Right.
And it included another series, plus all of the TV movies and all of that stuff. So basically, I'd like to stay with the superheroes. Oh, Kick-Ass too. That was
Oh,
it. They
yeah.
own Kick-Ass too now. But I'd like to stay with what was Marvel when it came out.
Yeah, we can do that.
So, yeah. Okay.
There's a few to choose from there. I think we'll be okay.
So, and I'd like to, if we could do this right the next time where I'll turn on the chats, we'll do this same kind of setup and let people throw their favorites out while we're
That'd be
talking.
awesome. That'd be fun.
And then, of course, I want you to wear your favorite and a bathrobe over it. So if you're number one, you can take it off and reveal what it is.
That is not gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know,
Yeah,
hey,
I listen.
if you don't ask, the answer's always no.
And sometimes when you do ask.
It's still no.
But I will show up in an outfit like this if you need me to.
Ooh, Lordy, I got the vapors now.
I think if I let my hair out, it would not be all that different from that, just a different color.
God. If only, if
Yeah,
only.
gotta find the ears.
Well, what we haven't talked about is the Oki Book Cast.
Yes.
There are a lot of things going on there.
Or a
So
lot of
tell people where they can find them, especially this really cool episode that just came out about the Running Man.
So yeah, the Oki Book Cast is me talking about books with friends. I do lots of interviews with Oklahoma authors and booksellers and librarians and other folks who are kind of connected to the bookish life of the state. And believe it or not, there is a ton of really cool things that are going on with authors and folks who are on, 2023 Book of the Year awards who are from Oklahoma, and also lots of folks that no one's ever heard of who are doing some really, really interesting stuff. So we do that once a month. I have a book chat show with my daughter where she and I and a guest get together and just talk about what we're reading. So we do a ton of book reviews and talk about things like Kaiju Preservation Society, which everyone should read. And then what Jamie's referring to, once a month, we have a what I call Pages to Pictures, and it's talking about the adaptation of a book to the film world. And so just last week, actually, we released Conversation where Jamie and I guess this week was Tuesday, wasn't it?
Tuesday.
Where Jamie and I talked about The Running Man and the incredibly faithful Arnold Schwarzenegger adaptation of the Stephen King
Incredibly, like jumped off the screen.
of that incredible, very 80s both book and film. So yeah, you can find it all at okiebookcast.com. All the places where you're listening to podcasts, you can check it out. We've got pushing 100 episodes, lots of different things. And really there's something for everybody. If you're a sci-fi person, if you are a horror person, if you're a romance person, we actually did a romance roundtable to start February, and never in my life
Awesome.
have I been less in my element
That was
than
so good.
conversation. But it's just, yeah, I listened to it closely, then you took notes and
Just watched it. I mean, just let it just wash over you. I mean,
but yeah, it's again, the joy of getting to talk to lots of different kinds of people is there really are episodes, children's authors, comic books. Man, we span the globe on that one too. So yeah, okiebookcast.com, check it out. A lot of fun and lots of great stuff happening there.
and speaking of great stuff, there's a little something else out there that people should know about.
Oh, what's happening? Yes. Yes, I have a book. It looks like
And
that.
tell us all about it.
Yeah, so I wrote it almost a year ago now. So my grandson is almost a year old. I wrote this last year. It's called God Help Me, I'm a Young Dad, 10 Essentials for Becoming the Dad Your Kids Need. And it is really just the advice that I wanted to give my son as he was having his first child. And so it talks about all these different essential characteristics, things like love and gratitude and service and forgiveness, some of the things that we're not great at, comes at it from a biblical perspective. We talk about what it means. And we, one of the things that I'm really proud of in the book is that it's also very active. And so every chapter also talks about not just what it is, but how we can acquire it more as dads, but also how we can help our kids grow into becoming more loving, more thankful, more service-oriented folks. So yeah, God help me, I'm a young dad. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to J Hall Writer, WRITER.com, and I can hook you up there. So thanks for letting me talk about that, Jamie. I'm really proud of that book. We're working on the next one. Someday that will get done, but yeah, I'm proud of that book, and I have loved talking with dads
It's
all
an
over the
amazing
place.
book,
I
and
appreciate it.
it's broken into chapters, so it's not like, oh my God, I have to sit here and read all of this. You could pick it up and read a chapter fairly quickly, and then just even me, I mean, I've been a dad for 20 something years. There's something for everybody. So is the sequel going to be, oh God, I'm a grandfather?
No, I've only been doing that for a year, so I don't know much about it yet. Actually, the next one's for college students,
Okay.
to help them think about navigating that time of life. Again, lots of the same perspectives, some of the essential things to think about that aren't academic oriented, because I spend so much of my time with college students, and I have had four of my own now working their way through college, just to help them think about how to navigate the complications of that time of life. And so focusing on things like rest, or when you were a college student, how much rest you got, integrity,
Hydration.
hydration. That's a
No,
different kind
I'm
of.
sorry. I seriously mean hydration because
But
they
yeah,
do
just all of that.
drink a
So,
lot. Gotta make sure,
but yeah, health and rest and integrity and relationships and community, just all of those things that, we get academically prepared to go to school. We don't necessarily get relationally, or in terms of maturity, that's just kind of assumed that you're a certain age, you know how to go navigate life. And I'll speak for myself at 17 when I went to college, I wasn't ready to go be in that environment quite yet. So yeah, hoping later this spring that one's going to be out in the world, and excited about what that's looking like.
Please tell me it's going to be co called, Oh God, I'm a College Student.
It's going to be called God Help Me, I'm Going to College.
That is awesome. Wow. So then you and I can write one, Oh God, I'm thinking of doing a podcast.
That's just going to be one
Like
page
a
to me.
store, talk me out of it.
Just stop.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, we know where to find you.
Yeah.
And again, Amazon is a great place to go and get the book. Father's Day is going to be coming up this summer.
Right. That's right.
Even if it's a dad who's been around for a while, or someone who's going to be a new dad, it's a great present. So, and I get 12% of each book. So
Right.
definitely go and check it out.
Wait for
Did
that
you know
check.
that?
It's been
Yes.
fun. So the folks who've come to me and said, well, now I have something to get the dad at these baby showers.
Exactly.
So much stuff for the baby, so much stuff for the mom, and now there's something they can hand the dad too. So just a hint. Marketing 101.
All right. Well, again, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
It's always a blast, Jamie.
It is. It is. And I want to thank all of you out there in the podcast universe for watching us and joining us for this episode of Faith Fight for Fans. You can find us on all the socials. You can Twitter X me. You can get us on Instagram. You can see my TikToks. And you can just do whatever. We're always looking for people to come on the show. We want to hear what you think. Again, number 76 in Antigua Barbuda.
Go.
So, still looking to, do a co-op there with the Tourism Bureau. If you want me to come and live stream or something, I'll be happy to do it.
From the
And
beach.
check this out. And remember, folks, it may not be the best. It may not be the most popular, but if it's your favorite, then it's good enough for us. All right, Jay Hall, give me your best kaiju roar. Oh, that's amazing.
I wish I'd been prepared for that.
Thanks so much. Have a
All right.
great night.
See you, man.